Good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you. Am I on? I'm on. Am I on? Okay. I'd like to welcome all of you to our November 13th Code Board meeting. And I'd like to welcome our new member, Mr. Tad Jones, to our board.
Our new old member.
A new old member.
Yes.
Are you doing something back there?
We should be at the moment.
Sorry, I got a big voice.
Okay.
I'm just worried the audio in the corner didn't pick up.
Okay, so I'm calling the November 13th co-board meeting to order. All right, Madam Secretary, we call the roll.
Mr. Schmoyer.
Here.
Mr. Harrington.
Here.
And we have a new member, Mr. Jones.
You're welcome.
All right, you're welcome. The client is not present. Mrs. Lucas called me this morning and said she will not be coming. She is ill this morning. And Mrs. Kemp is here.
I am. All right, good. We have a quorum.
Here. Good morning.
All right, maybe we have a motion to excuse Mrs. Lucas since she's ill.
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Harrington. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, likes, and opposed. All right, motion carries. All right, has everybody had a chance to read the October 9th minutes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
May I have a motion to approve those minutes? Are there any changes there anybody would like to make?
No, so moved.
I have a motion from Mr. Smart. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Like sign. All right. Would anybody like to disclose any ex parte communication on any of these cases? Good to go on that. All right. Would the code officers please come forward and be sworn in? Oh, we didn't do announcements. Should we do announcements?
Sure.
Go ahead. Let's do that. Okay.
A few cases that are in compliance that aren't reflected on the agenda.
Okay.
Item number 5, case number CEB 10-14-106 for 136 Maplewood Drive is in compliance as of November 12th. Case number 6, CEB 091497 for 339 South Martin Luther King Boulevard is in compliance as of November 13th. As of this morning.
These are cases that are in compliance because the officer cited them, and then they took care of it before it came to this board.
They came into compliance after the final agenda was issued.
Okay.
So that's why. But yes, their inspectors re-inspected and they're in compliance now, as been told. And I think that is it for right now. Oh, I'm sorry. 424. Did I not get that one? One more. Number 11, 424 Marion Street, case number CEB 10-14-115, in compliance as of yesterday.
Okay, is that it? All right, now code officers come forward, please.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
All right, here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number and for the most part in order as they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present, we will hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you are not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedure. All right, are there any attorneys present? Okay, well, case number, sir?
Good morning. Agenda item 18, case CEB 11-14-122.
That's number 18. That's the Wells Fargo. And you, sir? Number 2?
Yes.
All right. Why don't we take number 2 first? Whatever. Doesn't matter. Just one of you come up. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chairwoman, members of the board.
Okay. This is case number CEB 1014-111, John Katuzis, trustee. You please state your name for the record, please?
Yes, good morning, ma'am. Attorney Matthew Shulis with Albertelli Law on behalf of the senior lien holder, Wells Fargo.
And we're doing 18. Okay.
18, I apologize. Shulis, S-C-H-U-L-I-S.
All right, so we are doing case number CEB 11-14-122, Wells Fargo Bank. Okay. All right, let's hear from the code board, please.
The city first. Good morning. Excuse me. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'm Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city. And this is, so I'm making sure we're on the right one. This is case number 1819 Sterling Drive.
Right, CEB 11-14-122.
Okay. The inspector in this case is John Stinson, and I will present Mr. Stinson to testify as to the facts of the case.
Okay.
I guess before we even do that, we may want to inquire as to whether or not the respondent agrees that they're in violation.
All right. Do you agree that some or all of these violations occurred at the time of notice?
At this point, with no direct knowledge, I can either admit or deny.
Okay, thank you. All right, let us hear from staff.
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector with City of Daytona Beach. This property, or this case, came to us as a police complaint. As of yesterday, the property remains to be in non-compliance for all cited violations. The only difference is that a power meter has been reinstalled on the property. All other violations still exist.
Okay.
And those violations being what?
Obviously, there was a stop work order issued for the roof work. You have the parking in the yard. You have the outside storage of junk and debris. You have the damaged garage door. You have the electrical system hazard, which has been corrected. And you have the roof issues, which has not been corrected. All of those violations still exist.
All right, Mr. Shulis, what would you like to tell us?
Yes, thank you, ma'am. I've been in contact with my client, Wells Fargo, who has informed me that they have a vendor currently working on these violations. The information that I received is that they had removed the junk and the trees from outside the property. So if that's not the case, I'll contact the vendor and contact my client and have them get the vendor go out and go fix it. My understanding is that they've received bids for replacement of the garage door, which they anticipate a completion within 10 days. We did not have any information with regards to the electrical problems, so since that's been fixed, that's very helpful. But my client has vendors currently working on correcting any violations.
Okay. Does the board have any questions? What is staff's final recommendation?
Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Okay. That's it. All right, the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is 12-3, or be returned to the board for a consideration of a fine of up to $100 a day?
$1,000
a day. Do I have such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion from Mr. Harrington and a second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. That'll be you'll be able to do all that work by then and just stay in touch with the code officer and let it know that it's finished. Okay, now let's go back to case number two.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That would be great. Thank you.
All right, we'll go back to case number two. which is case number CEB 10-14-111. And you are Mr. Holt?
Correct.
Okay, for John Katuzis, trustee.
Correct, John Harry Katuzis.
Okay, do you agree that...
It's a continued case.
It's a continued case, right. All right, so the compliance date is October 20th, so we'll just hear from staff right now.
Excuse me, there is a compliance date? It's not listed on the here.
I have October 20th was supposed to be the compliance
date. So it's past the compliance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case 728 Blue Road. This has been previously before you in the chair for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Michael Fitzgerald, and I will present Mr. Fitzgerald to provide a factual testimony.
Good morning. My name is Michael Fitzgerald. I'm a code enforcement officer with the City of Daytona Beach. The property at 728 Blue Road, the gentleman was supposed to submit and get a permit to operate a coffee shop. He didn't show due diligence in that. In other words, he hasn't really completed the application at this time, so we're in non-compliance, and we're asking for $100 a day to a maximum of $20,000.
That's the tenant.
He was living there, and he also was living in the property, yeah.
I thought I saw him right behind you a minute.
So is the tenant still living there?
No.
Excuse me, sir. You can come up if you want to testify, but you'll have to be sworn in.
Okay.
And just for the record, he's not my client. He's
correct.
The alleged tenant, yeah.
Now you represent the landlord?
Yes, that's correct. I represent the property owner.
Is there any legal proceedings going on involving the tenant at this point?
Currently, we are, depending on the outcome of this, we've given them a 15-day notice from the previous non-compliance hearing that we had. I haven't, basically waiting on to see what happens today to continue on with the eviction process or not.
So there is an eviction process going on?
I think there's some other issues that need to be discussed.
Okay.
Yeah, Ms. Fitzgerald, did you inspect the property after our last meeting?
We did inspect the property.
And what did you find?
And at that time, we took pictures of the inside. You'll see there's like a futon where you can sleep in, and there's couches, and we couldn't, at that time of the thing, it was non-compliance of the inspection.
And have you had since inspected and determined it to be in compliance, or what's your knowledge as of today's date?
From that day, it was non-compliance.
And you haven't been shown otherwise?
I haven't been shown otherwise.
Okay. No, and no one's been in touch with you to say,
The tenant called me, I think, yesterday to do an inspection. Was that correct, yesterday?
No, I
spoke to him yesterday.
Don't you want to swear him in?
Sir, if you want to speak, you need to step up to the podium and be sworn in.
Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, Charles R. Williams.
Address?
227 Madison Avenue. Apartment 5. Yes, I do.
All right, for the record, at 9:15, Mrs. Himes has arrived. Go ahead.
Man, I don't know where to begin. First of all, I'd like to say I didn't even know anything about this hearing.
You were here last month.
I was. but I wasn't. I didn't know what the results were going to be. And
the results were that no one was to be living in the building, and that we were going to come back and action would be taken if something wasn't done.
Well, I don't live in the building. I never lived in the building. I'm there a lot. I'm still there a lot. Everything is there. My piano, computers, my telephone, everything. And I use that, and I'm using the property for doing internet television.
No, sorry.
And
okay. Does the board have any questions? Do you like to respond, sir?
Yes.
Okay. You can ask me a question.
I just asked the board. Legally, my client has a lease with this gentleman, and depending on the outcome of this, we'll take the appropriate action. I can inform that we have given various notices, such as 3 days, 15 days in the past. And I would ask that the board abate any fine, if there was to be a fine, until we can let the legal process, so it doesn't put my clients in legal jeopardy with this gentleman, because we do have a lease agreement with him.
You have a lease agreement with him, and you have filed with the proper authority to evict? You said you had a 3-day and a 15-day?
There's proper notice that must be delivered to the tenant.
Correct.
Just like these hearings, you have to give proper notice. There's due process procedures that
Correct.
Have to take place before it even gets into the court system. We've done that in the past. We've done that based on the board's last hearing. And pending the outcome of this, will dictate whether we're successful or not. I believe, it's going to end up in the court system. So I'd ask that whatever potential fine be abated until we allow that procedure or proceeding.
Have you filed a 3-day notice?
He's paid the rent.
He's paid the rent. Have you filed then what have you filed with the county?
There's nothing you have to file with the county.
No, for eviction.
All notices go to the tenant, him himself.
I guess the question is, have you already filed anything with the court?
Right.
No. Because we have to file the 3-day and 15-day notices, all have to go to the tenant. None of that is through the court process.
At first.
Once those time periods expire, then of course.
How far along are you in the procedure?
The 15-day notice has been delivered.
When was that delivered?
The expiration of the 15 days would either be today or tomorrow.
Okay.
Can I ask you?
Depending on the calculation.
All right.
Of the day.
Board questions, please.
Could you let us know what are the limitations on his lease to the use of the property? What does it say that he's renting this property for?
I don't know if that's really relevant in this situation. Our question here is, what we allege is that the property is a commercial structure approved for commercial use, and that was being used for residential use, that he was living in. Remind the board that the prior testimony and the previous proceeding was that there was an event, a police event that brought law enforcement out, domestic event where there were allegations made that they were living there. Since the proceeding, our inspector went out there. The pictures show, and his testimony is that he found the indicia of someone living there. There were futons, there were kitchenette, there were things that was consistent with someone living on the property. And at this point, what we're left with is he's hadn't done anything that satisfies that he's not living there. He hasn't made any alterations from residential appearance to commercial appearance. And the position of the staff is that he's still in non-compliance. And I understand the request of Mr. Hull. And, quite honestly, and historically, if someone is indeed diligently trying to pursue means such as court means or whatever, then that's something the board takes in consideration. I'm not arguing one way or another. I know historically we have. I think what your questions were is, have they diligently started pursuing and taking the legal actions to address this situation?
My question, which I'd like to finish now, is does your lease forbid him from having living quarters in that property?
Yes.
All right. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay. Go ahead, Mrs. Hines.
I have a question also. Not only him, doesn't our city code prevent that? Okay. And if I can remember correctly, last month we were supposed to impose a fine.
No. Well, I mean, here's the situation.
Let me clarify this. A fine is an in rem action against the property, not against the tenant. Mm-hmm. I think we need to give the tenant and the landlord an opportunity to evict him. If he doesn't, then I think we need to tell. We need to, because that may solve the problem. Mm-hmm. He's evicted. That solves the problem. If he doesn't, then I think at that point we're going to have to think about some fines. But
I certainly agree with that.
Excuse me, sir. You're not testifying right now.
We would be holding our action up until see what happens with their situation. If he gets evicted, then that takes care of the problem.
And that, we would agree with that. We don't have a problem if the board comes back and says not compliant. Our problem is if you start fining us until we've had the opportunity to legally.
How long will that take? Do you foresee?
I would hope. Within 30 days.
Okay.
At least they can start the legal process.
The legal process can start within 30 days.
My next question is, did I not hear you say that when you gave a first notice of something, you said he paid the rent? So what I'm asking now is, if he paid the rent now, will he still be?
It's a different
issue.
No, that's a different issue. The 15 and the 3-day are two separate issues. Okay. The 3-day is... they haven't paid rent. And every time he's been given a 3-day or that time period comes up, he pays the rent. So it avoids that issue. But I can assure the board that as soon as these issues originally arose, my clients retained me specifically to avoid this matter. They don't want to be fined. They've owned those properties for quite some time. They own additional properties on Blue Road. I've dealt specifically with Mr. Jackson and the officer doing what we can legally. I'm just asking that the board hold off on any fines until we have the opportunity to legally remove him as the tenant.
All right. Are there any other comments from the board? I just want to make sure that progress is being made in evicting the tenant, the so-called tenant.
So that's progress being made by them.
Right.
A decision one way or the other. We're not in the middle of that.
Right. We are not.
Right.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until December 3rd, the next cutoff date, to come in to compliance if we return to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $100 a day.
$1,000
a day.
And we are referring to the owner.
Second.
Right. Is there such a motion? So moved by Mrs. Himes, a second.
Mr. Jones,
all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. All right, motion carries.
Madam Chair, if I can ask one more thing. The tenant has indicated, at least when he testified, that he has an alternative address where he actually resides.
Mm-hmm.
And what we really want to do is just be able to resolve this case. If indeed there is an alternative place, our folks go to it, and he can show that and show that this he's not living in any other place.
Thank you.
But what we would like to know is exactly, have him give us exactly where that location is.
Well, that's between you and him.
Yeah.
Tony, if there's a situation that can alleviate the problem, that's fine. But right now, the issue is between these two. And if you can find a way to resolve, that's fine.
Well, I'm just saying from the perspective, and this is just the perspective of staff, is with him being sworn in under oath, if he can give an address.
Yeah, that's fine.
That would like to follow up on that address. And how much
it was 227 Madison Apartment.
Five.
Five.
Okay.
I don't know how that will affect.
That's up to them.
Okay, that's got nothing to do with us.
I would suggest, Alan, that you could keep Mr. Jackson in the loop about the eviction process and know what's going on.
Exactly. Okay. That's what I'm most interested in.
If it takes longer than 30 days, we'll work with you, but I just keep him in the loop.
Right. I'll keep Mr. Jackson in the loop.
Good.
I've kept in touch with his office.
Okay, that's fine.
That date, one more time, is December 5th?
December 3rd.
December 3rd, sorry.
Next cutoff date. Mm-hmm.
And the meeting date would be December 11th. Compliance is with her meeting date. I'll email you a copy of it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you so much.
Let me excuse. Thank you.
Yes. No, case is over.
I have a completely different picture.
I'm sorry.
You're not listening. You're not going to hear my.
We have determined.
We didn't take any action. We're going to have action.
We have finished with this case.
Well, you don't want to hear what I have to tell you.
The case is.
You don't have. You want to hear how you've been lied to so far?
No, not
ladies
now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No.
You don't want to hear that.
I want.
Well, you have been lied to.
I want
to
you to please step away from the microphone.
Several lies. Just want to let you know that. Hey, I have a lot invested in this.
I would like you to step away from the microphone, please. This case is over. Okay. All right, now, we'll go back to case number one. That is case number CEB 10-14-108, James Ashburn and Ace Cash Express. Is the respondent present? No? Okay. All right. So we'll just hear from staff if no one's present.
Yeah. Madam Chair, this is the property at 833 North Ridgewood Avenue. Michael Fitzgerald is the inspector. This is before you for imposition of a fine. I'll present Mr. Fitzgerald to give you the factual status of the case.
Good morning. Signs have been removed. I've been in contact with them. They were supposed to remove the signs on the exterior of the window. Those are still there. The property is in non-compliance. I'm looking for a $250 a day fine with a maximum of $20,000.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose. Do we have any questions from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today and continue until compliance is achieved or it reaches the maximum of $10,000?
$20,000.
Is there such a motion?
So moved. Oh, no. It should have been done.
All right. I have Mrs. Himes and Mr. Smart, right? Yes, she did. All right, Mrs. Himes made the motion, and Mr. Smart, second.
Madam Chair, before you make the call for the vote, I generally don't interrupt. This case actually was due for compliance on 10/15,
mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if you wanted to go back on a fine to 10/15 or not. That's
all right.
Really an option.
All right. Can I hear from the board about that? How do you feel
what,
about that?
What are you asking us to do?
Retroactive. Make it retroactive to the October. The 250 is going to come up
really
quick for a long
time. All right. That's fine.
No.
We can go from here.
All right. I think the consensus is we'll go from here.
Right.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Like, sign, post. Motion carries.
We'll
get
that $1,000 real quick.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
we disposed of case number two. Case number three is CEB 08-14-90, Harold Hunter and Lisa Hunter Davis. The respondent present. All right, so we'll just hear from staff.
And this is before you for imposition of fine. The inspector is John Stinson, and I will ask Mr. Stinson to speak to you regarding the facts.
Okay.
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector with the City of Daytona Beach. The only thing left on this property is the eviction. Then they can actually stop the parking in the yard because everything there is from the tenants. And They really can't do anything until the tenants are evicted. She has provided me with documentation that she's already begun the eviction process. They have been given their three-day notice on 11/5. So we're asking for the next cutoff.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the next cutoff, December 3rd, to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. That was Mr. Jones. Motion from Mr. Jones. Mr. Smart, second. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
I have a question before.
Okay.
When did the eviction process, this was first noticed in June, and if this is a eviction thing, why wasn't that all of that done much sooner? Did you have a, did they tell you why, or?
Well, this case began with two properties, two neighboring properties. One of them has been brought into compliance completely.
Okay.
This remaining one, everything that they could do without, or rather with the tenant still being there, has been done. She's been in contact with me regularly.
Okay. So she's working with
you. So she is working on it.
All right.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 4 is in compliance. Case number 5 is in compliance. Case number 6 is in compliance. Case number 7, CEB-09-14-100, Victor Ingram and Agnes Ingram. Respondent present? Okay. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is the case at 526 Wallace Street. The inspector in the case was Eddie Lopez. Mr. Lopez is no longer with the city. We have another inspector that will be going out to inspect. We'd ask that we continue this case or amend to the next cutoff for a fresh inspection.
Any questions from the board?
I move that we continue the case until the next cutoff or the next inspection.
All right. I have a motion from Mr. Harrington.
Is that the way it should
be? A second from Mrs. Himes. Do I a motion?
What, is that all right? Is that
we need to amend our previous order?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Chair will do you want me to restate? Okay. The Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until December 3rd to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. All right, motion from Mr. Harrington, and a second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, that's 7. We're moving on to case number 8, CEB-09-14-101, Loxley Newton at 360 Weaver Street.
Madam Chair, this is the same circumstance, and the request from the city is the same.
The respondent's not present. Are there any questions from the board? It's the same as what?
Sorry. The inspector for the case is Mr. Lopez. Mr. Lopez
okay.
is no longer with the city, and we'll get a new inspector assigned, and so if we can have it amended to the next
case. Look like we're going to do that with all of his cases?
Those that are not already found in compliance.
Deal with them in a case-by-case situation.
Yes.
In the October meeting, you testified that there was minimal progress toward compliance.
Right.
Well, I don't have any other factual testimony to give you right now. So
you have, okay, so we have to assign a new code officer to the case. So, all right. Chair will enter, and how long do you think that will take?
We should have this resolved by next cutoff.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion. Does anybody have questions? Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until December 3rd to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smart. Second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Harrington. Oh, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Case number 9, CEB 10-14-112, Fannie Mae Wallace on DeSoto Avenue. Is the respondent present? Okay, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, this case is also one that was assigned to Mr. Lopez, and we would have the same request that we amend to the next cutoff.
Okay. Any questions? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until December 3rd to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for a consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
Sorry.
Motion by Mrs. Himes and a second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Now we are on... So all of these cases, right? Case number 10, CEB 10-14-114, Willie Bailey and Robin Gibbides at 563 Live Oak Avenue. Is the respondent present? Okay. And same thing.
Yes, Madam Chair, same thing.
Any questions from the board? Chair will enter. Go ahead. Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until December 3rd to come into compliance, be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is such a motion?
So moved.
All right. Motion from Mr. Smart and a second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
I do have a question. Do all of these people know they're going to be getting a visit from an inspector quite soon, so that it's that
we don't
get another 30-day delay because they weren't there.
Right. They've been noticed.
Yes,
they have been notified. That's all I'm asking.
They're getting a break to begin with.
Yes, they're getting a very generous break.
All right.
Yes.
All right. They'll take care of it. All right. Case number 11, CEB 10-14-115, is in compliance. We'll move on to case number 12, CEB 10-14-116, Prem Bhandari. Is the respondent present?
This is for a progress report.
This is for a progress report.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Madam Chair, on this case, this also is a case that Mr. Lopez was the inspector. This was before you for a progress report mm-hmm. with a compliance date in December.
Right.
The respondent did send in an update as to their progress or status, and so we are submitting that for your consideration. Okay. However, we would like the December compliance date to remain.
Okay. Give everybody a minute to read this.
And again, we have not had an inspector yet to follow up on any of the things expressed.
So we'll just leave this as the progress report. Is that okay? We don't need a motion to do that. We just need to move on. Okay. All right. Now we'll move on to our new cases. Case number 13, CEB 11-14-117. Vernell Johnson and Patricia Roper at 646 South Street, Unit 3. Is the respondent present? Good morning, Mr. Sykes. What would you like to tell us?
Good morning. My name is Denzel Sykes. My certifications are on file with the City of Daytona Beach. This is a case for 646 South Street, Unit number 3. There's been no contact with the property owner, but the tenant is in the audience today. I'm not sure if he wants to speak or not. The property owner was at one time it was a mother, and then she turned the property over to her daughter. Then the mother took it back over. Then another daughter took over the property. So it's been a mess as far as ownership. Excuse me. And as you can see by the photos, while they're going through that, the tenant is living in the terrible conditions. That's mold and mildew in the restroom. You see the pails of water. There's a large hole you'll see shortly in his bedroom from rainwater. And the tenant actually had to go up and put up a tarp on the outside of the of his unit, you know, to try to stop some of the water from coming in. And actually, I'm going after the whole complex. It's a four-unit complex, but right now his is the first to come before you. So I'm asking that you find this case in non-compliance. Next cutoff.
Any questions from the board? Do you consider this a matter of health or?
I think it's egregious, but it's really egregious. Nothing we can do from a code standpoint besides just move it forward.
Well, first we have to find non-compliance, but I'm wondering how many days we give this person to fix up this place. The next cutoff date. Okay, that's good with me.
Yeah. Now, she was noticed. This has been going on since.
I see. It's been going on since May.
Right. So, yeah. So I'm not trying to be lenient at all. I mean,
okay.
It's time to get fixed.
I want to do as much as we can, as quickly as we can on this case. Does anybody else have anything to say about this?
I would just like to ask. Mr. Sykes, the tenants have been paying their rent.
I'm not sure about that. I know they was looking into some legal action. I'm not sure where that is.
They reside there still.
Yeah, they still reside there.
I don't know, Paul, that what I see there, and I.
One of the tenants are here. He does want to say something.
The only thing we can do at this point is give them the necessary.
Well, sometimes when it's so egregious, can't we give them 10 days?
We could.
Not that that would work. But
Before it comes up, at least not to me, I'm not sure about Amy, but the property owner hasn't been responding at all.
Right.
So I haven't heard from him. So I don't think 10 days is going to make a difference.
No.
Has
correct.
Not.
I think it did have to be posted.
Was it posted or was it served?
It was posted. I still haven't. The certified mail is still out there, so they probably haven't picked it up. It's address is in Palm Coast, though, so it's not, I mean, it's in Adams Center, but it's not far.
Okay, sir, please state your name and be sworn in.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. My name is Freddie Lee Riley. And I'm the tenant at 646 South Street, Apartment 3.
What was your last name, sir?
Riley, R-I-L-E-Y.
Okay, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you about provides the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
What would you like to tell us?
Ma'am, I've been in this address for 4 years, and at the time, I'm just saying I was working for the guy. Excuse me, I'm just a little shook up in love.
It's okay, relax.
First time being in here, yeah. I'm hurting, I got to be going to the doctor, but I come to see what they're going to do about this. I've been in this apartment for 4 years, and the daughter, she had the apartment at first, and she was coming collecting our money, and we was like, you know, paying through the AmScot, and sometimes I tell her to write me a receipt. Sometimes she was writing a receipt, and I think they was going through some difficult something between her and her old man, so they stopped coming, you know, to see about the place. And this place been leaking for like, I'd say about a year and something. Then the mom, she took over the place like about 8 months ago, and I showed her, you know, the inside and everything, paying them rent, everything, working every day, you know, until I lost my job, but still keeping the place going, paying the water, light, gas. And they haven't did nothing. They start coming like collecting my money, and not sometimes they haven't wasn't giving me receipts. And I told them, well, I'm not going to pay no more till you guys come in and fix this, because I've been living in this stuff and destroyed a lot of my personal clothes and stuff like that. The roof fell in, and thanks God I didn't sleep in the room that night. I slept in the front room. And I told them about that. They kept talking about they can't find nobody to come fix the place and all this. And He got all kind of stuff going on, the molding. I kind of been a little sick behind that, too, but I haven't went to the doctor for that. But now I'm going to a doctor now on some other occasion. And I just coming up here to see what they're going to do about this because I've been telling them, you know, that, excuse me, but I'm kind of still a little
okay.
But one of the daughters come up, the youngest daughter, I ain't never had no dealing with her. But she comes there like last month sometimes speaking to her and some guy talking about, we the new owners, you got the rent money, you got the lead. I'm like, I told you guys, when y'all come out here and fix this place, where's your mom at? I want to talk to her. You know, I've been asking y'all to fix this place, been flooding out my room, you know what I mean? My little kids come stay with me sometime, and they haven't done it. So I said, well, I tell you what, I'm going to stop paying rent until you guys come and fix this. Something need to be done about it. I can't keep living this stuff, biting me and all that kind of stuff. So I called Mr. Denzel out to come, you know, and expected to do it the right way. I want the legal aid, fill out an application thing, you know what I mean, to do that. They haven't still done it. The mom come to my, we can sort this. If you want to call the code enforcement, we can do this. I said, well, we have to do it because I've been in this apartment for 4 years and I'm the only tenants in here. Been paying my rent on time, everything. Never had no problem until now. When your daughter got into something, now she's saying, you taking over. Y'all won't come out and fix this. I can't keep living this. I've been sick behind this by just saying went to the doctor for it. But I'm not feeling too good this morning here. But I come out just to see what's going on because I got to be in Orlando about 10 o'clock. And I'm just tired. I don't know what to do, so I come to you guys.
All right. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Sykes. If you have more to say.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I just want to
Does the board have any comments? I really would like to give them 10 days to fix it and start... find them, they have to be in compliance within 10 days. I don't know what the point is of giving them any more time.
If I can speak to that.
Go ahead.
I think at least on the initial notice, it's always good to ensure that
one.
We're giving them reasonable time to take action. I mean, if you want to give a short time to show some diligence, such as obtaining permits, those types of things, things that can be done in a short period of time. You know, if you wanted to break it up, but I would strongly encourage to give at least a 30-day time period and ensure that they get the adequate notice so that if we have to go further in this, that we don't have those issues to try and sort out later.
Madam Chair, my secretary said that you sent it, but you haven't received anything back.
Correct. The property had to be posted.
Yeah.
And it could be better because you've been there for 4 years. Not like it's a situation where it's an immediate situation. So, and that's what get done.
Well, just to be able to hear from you guys, your voice and your and the consequences, and ensure that there are notice of those consequences, and then y'all can be as heavy. We're going to ask that you
give them the same, give them a reasonable amount of time. We want to hit them hard. It's better.
Yes.
And give them 10 days and hit them hard.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments from the board? Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, December 3rd, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
all right. I have a motion from Mr. Harrington and a second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries.
Madam Chairman, you have a request for a break.
All right, it is 9:50, and we have a request for a break. We'll break for 5 minutes.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Couldn't have a break. If he left, we wouldn't have a quorum. So
we have a quorum. We still have a quorum.
Oh, yes, we do.
Now we're quorum.
All right, so...
Do you want to go on?
We don't need a break. Let's just continue.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just continue. So, and just note that Mr. Jones stepped away at 9:50. Okay. All right. We'll move on to case number 14, CEB 11-14-118, Kevin LeBaron at 1101 6th Street. Is the respondent present? All right. Mr. Stanson, what can you tell us?
Good morning. I'm John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed with the city. My qualifications are on file. This
Hang on one second. Those are not the right pictures. This property came as a citizen's complaint for extreme outside storage and some fencing issues. Upon further inspection, there were more violations and more outside storage of a lot of outside storage of junk and debris. There has been progress on the property. However, they are not yet in compliance as of yesterday, and I am asking for non-compliance next cutoff.
All right. Any questions or comments from the board? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, December 3rd, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right. A motion by Mr. Smart, a second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay, case number 15. CEB 11-14-119, George E. Moore at 1204 Continental Drive. Is the respondent present? All right, Mr. Stenson, go ahead.
Again, John Stenson, Code Enforcement Inspector with the City of Daytona Beach. This property came to me as a commissioner complaint. The property is vacant, it is unsecure, and all of the violations remain the same. The city's asking for non-compliance next cutoff.
Any comments from the board? All right. Mr. Jones has returned at 10:53.
Okay.
9:53. Right? Thank you.
Mr. Stenson, you said absolutely no one.
I'm sorry?
You said absolutely no one lives there.
No, no one lives there. It is vacant.
Okay. Any other comments or questions from the board? The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. Smart, a second by Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries.
Can I just ask a question on this? Has any action been taken to assure that you don't have some vagrants coming to move into that house?
It has not been put on the trespass arrest site program as of yet. Being that it's unsecure, we can ask permits and licensing if they have funds to secure the property. But those things have not occurred yet.
Okay. Do we need a motion to do that or no? You'll just ask them to do that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, we'll move on to case number 16, CEB 11-14-120, Michelle McGee at 731 Flanders Ave. Is the respondent present? I think they're coming up. Okay.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Michelle McGee.
Okay. And what's your address?
My address is 19895 Jasmine Drive.
Sir, are you going to testify?
Yes. Donald Wisman, W-H-I-S-M-A-N, 834 Northwest Fork Road, Stuart, Florida. Friend.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, you're the owner of the property, Ms. McGee. All right. Do you agree that all or some of these violations occurred at the time of notice?
No.
No. Okay. Just asking. We're still going to hear the case. All right. We'll hear from staff and then. You can speak. Okay, Mr. Stenson.
Yes, ma'am. John Stenson, Code Enforcement Inspector with the City. This property came to us as a complaint from the police department as a rooming house. Currently, the rooming house outside storage has been corrected. The house is vacant currently, so there's no need for a BTR rental license. However, the exterior surfaces, the interior surfaces, and the electrical system hazard violations still remain. City is asking that they be found in non-compliance and bring the property into compliance by next cutoff.
Okay. All right.
Did she?
You have a question, Mrs.
Yeah.
Holmes?
You did say the interior and exterior and electric were not compliant.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, Ms. McGee, what would you like to tell us?
I'd like to speak for Ms. McGee, ma'am.
Okay.
I spoke to Mr. Stenson concerning...
What is your relationship to
We're friends.
Okay.
Yeah, I know a lot about, you know, I'm a construction superintendent by trade, so I know a lot about, you know, the building department, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to Mr. Stenson several times on the telephone. His contention was that the owner was renting the house. It's the owner's contention, no, she wasn't renting the house. The people literally squatted and moved their stuff in. So to comply with Mr. Stenson, we said, no problem. The homeowner will pull a permit. It's very little stucco, and that's the exterior, what he was talking about, is approximately 6 sheets of drywall. We'll pull a homeowner's permit. We'll fix that, no problem. Nothing structural. He says, no, you cannot do that because it's commercial property. You're renting it. I said, no, Mr. Stenson. They literally squatted in the house in the middle of the night. So that's the whole contention. You know, she went through the eviction process, and we have a case number, a judge. They've already been convicted. But it was $550 to get them out of there.
Just to get the squatters out?
Yeah, literally.
They had no lease or anything,
You
had to go to court to get them out?
They had zero. And so she went through a property manager here in Daytona, because we're from West Palm Beach area,
mm-hmm.
Tyler Property Management, advised $550 to evict. So she had to come up with the money. You know, that took some time. And they writ of possession was issued September 8th. And we have a case number. But meanwhile, the property owner advised us don't go near there while you're trying to evict them. Now, we wanted to comply with Mr. Stenson. But our contention is, the owner's contention is, it was never commercial property. They never had any right to rent it. They were never renting. They had never had a right to even occupy it. They literally just moved in. So she calls FP&L. How is that possible that you turn the power on? They said, we don't care who pays for the power. They literally told her, there's nothing you can do as a homeowner.
And my question is, what is the violation for the electric? I don't know what.
Well, they tried to electric box off. Someone did, but.
Am I supposed to have...
just a second. We'll get the code officer to answer that question. What is the electric violation?
It's the electrical system hazard. During inspection, the property was without power and occupied.
This is what we have to say about that. Number one, FP&L told the property owner, we don't care. As you, as the property owner, if someone asks us to turn the power on, that's fine. But, you know, if that's Mr. Stenson's contention, then everybody that owns property throughout the city of Daytona, if I have a strip mall, and one of my people occupying that, they don't pay their power bill, so they go to the owner of that strip mall and say, you're in violation? That can't be so.
So the electric hazard is that the electric is not on?
No, look at that.
I mean, I see that.
The property is empty, so there's no more violation for that.
Madam Chair.
Just wait. Go ahead.
I believe
Mr.
that
Jackson.
Mr. Stenson has agreed with them as to some of these violations that they're expressing, that they're in compliance. The things that they need to get in compliance and the after-issue permits, I understand Mr. Weissman, and I don't believe that that's a fuss coming from code. Ultimately, the determination of whether they're going to have to get whether they can pull a homeowner's permit versus a commercial permit,
mm-hmm.
is something that's determined down in permits and licensing, and all those explanations that need to be given to them, and they have to assess and make those decisions. That's not a decision that the code is able to make or Mr. Stenson is able to make. What Mr. Stenson has to do is just make a determination of what needs to be done. and whatever it takes for them to do it. We're not asking for sanctions. We're not at that point. We're at the point of saying, these are the things that need to be done. Follow up with us. Make sure they're done. And here's the amount of time we think it should take for them to get done. And I believe we're asking for the next cutoff.
The property is up for sale.
This is the problem. When she bought that property a few years ago, I spoke to the building department. I spoke to permits and everything like that. The addition where the problem is was not permitted. So we can't, even if the homeowner, even if Ms. McGee wanted to pull a permit for the homeowner, you know, there still needs to be a stucco inspection with a screw inspection, and we talked to the building department. So the only alternative is to tear the entire room down to get a permit. And it's very little stucco, and she's trying to sell the place as is now. That's what she's trying to do.
Well, once again, you know, those are building department determinations. Whether or not it has to be completely torn out or whether they can get some alternative approval, they would have to get with the building department. We're not saying they, you know, I don't have an answer right now. What we do, the answer is that we need a compliance. But as far as the steps for them to take, it's going to require them to get with the building department and see if they can get some alternative relief. Understand the problem. That's a standard problem. If you purchase a house and it's already has unpermitted work and it's discovered after the fact, then you're the one holding that bag, and just you're the one that have to get those permits, and that's just the circumstance. I understand it. I'm not, and so that's where we are. And the relief, if there's any alternative relief, would have to come with them working through the permits and licensing.
You know, and the whole thing started because these people literally squatted overnight, and this is how this whole thing started. And then, you know, Ms. McGee wants to do the right thing by the city and wants, but you know, and then when I speak to the building department, they do a permit search all the way back to the 80s, and no. So, and you know, Ms. McGee's a dental tech. She doesn't, you know, she's not a big property owner. So to do this is $10,000 minimum. I met with a general contractor out there to try to comply to see what we can do. You know, so that's where it stands now. We want to do the right thing by the city.
All right, are there?
I want to know if I can just keep it as is until I sell it. I mean, I don't know what else
it's
to do.
It's so not a hazard.
All right, go ahead, Mrs. Hines.
From what I'm seeing on the picture, I have to disagree that it's not a hazard. There's a bunch of wires hanging out of the electrical. The electrical box is pulled off. Can we see that picture again? Let's see how that's open. And then all the wires.
That looks like cable. That's not even power, so that's not even. But if that's the case, then we can call, you know, the cable company.
Yeah, that is cable, I think.
Right. And we could certainly call FPNL for a new meter if that's the issue. But you could see someone to get that power when the people that literally squatted it try to get their own power by prying the box off.
Does Florida Power have any responsibility to come back and fix that power box it away?
I would hope so.
I would too.
Yeah, they can. They act. Yeah. Okay.
I would. You know, I think we should do the most we can to help these people. Just try to figure out the situation with the power, and so there is no danger, and maybe the cable too, and then try to help them as best we can.
And you know, we want Miss McGee wants to do the right thing by the city. You know, and we live like 2.5 hours away. It's three, but you know, it's next to a vacant lot, so it makes it more difficult. There's debris. You know, we have to go clean up the debris out all the time.
You're still going to have to eventually turn the power on if you sell the property for proper inspections,
right,
or they will.
Right.
So it should be either, it should be fixed so that could take place sometime.
What we would like to do is, you know, I'll go talk to the building department now and see what actions, but, you know, it's still $10,000 minimum because this addition was built without a permit, either to tear it down or to make it come into compliance with the Florida Building Code. So her best option is to sell it as is with complete.
There, Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
About can it remain the same until sold?
Madam Chair, members of the board, the issue of we understand the difficulty of being a homeowner or a landowner, especially an out-of-area landowner, and we understand that. Nevertheless, it's a residential home, and we don't have any mechanism for allowing someone to hold a home until they get the opportunity to sell in its unsatisfied condition. If indeed, I mean, that's the indicator. Maybe we didn't know about it for years, but now we do, unfortunately, and now that we do, and I'm saying unfortunately maybe from their perspective, but now that we are there and now that we are involved, our responsibility is to ensure that the property is brought into compliance. Whatever they do in the interim, whatever efforts in terms of sale, whatever else, we're not going to be a part of that, and we're not agreeing or waiving our obligation to ensure that the property is brought into compliance.
But if you put up the picture, the front from the street view, I mean, from a city aesthetic point, it's not a bad-looking place. I mean, we can fix the wires. What the issue? I mean, look at front. It's certainly not an eyesore. It's not a bad-looking place. I mean, and we can talk to the FPNL and the cable company about fixing your concerns, but she would just like to sell it. I mean, and he mentions one of the deficiencies is the interior, which is six sheets of drywall. I mean, yeah, you know.
It's not our responsibility
right.
to tell you.
That's right.
You need to sit down with them, work this thing out.
And
just give you some time. That's what they do.
Yeah, that is all it can do is just give you time. We're here today to find it in compliance or non-compliance, and I'm ready to make a motion if there are no other comments.
Go ahead. Madam Chair, I was wondering, did she understand when you said, was these not in compliance at the time?
Mm-hmm.
What she was saying was, these conditions were there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, though you can see they were there, that means, so they were not corrected at the time.
Well, I couldn't legally correct it because the city wouldn't give me a permit, so I could work on it.
And I think part of that, too, was one of the very first things, violation description, rooming house. We certainly dispute that because they squatted.
Mm-hmm.
And outside storage, we certainly dispute that because it wasn't clear.
Well,
so
they've indicated that was corrected.
Right. So.
Okay.
So the only violations are what?
No, we need. That's not our responsibility to tell you what the violations are. Our responsibility is you need to get with the inspector.
Awesome.
Go through it. And then, you know, we come back next month. If you feel you're in compliance, that's when the board will make a decision whether you're in or not in compliance.
Okay.
I'll tell you what to do and not to do. That's not our responsibility.
Okay.
All right, so the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, December 3rd, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right, I had a motion from Mrs. Himes, a second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sit down with Mr. Smith.
I certainly will. Him and I have spoken on the phone several times.
You hear it now personally. Sit down and talk about it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm going to wait for Mr. Stenson. I think I'll
okay.
Spend as far as
good.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We'll move on to case number 17, CEB 11-14-121, Matthew Mountain at 116 Point O Woods Drive. Respondent present. Okay, Mr. Stenson.
What case number was that?
That is case number 17.
Thank you.
Good morning, John.
Good morning,
Stenson,
again.
Code inspector, City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This property came as a citizen complaint about a unsecure and unmaintained pool. Upon inspection, yes, unsecure pool and unmaintained. Upon inspection, the city has issued lot clearances, so we've maintain the actual landscaping. The pool itself is still unsecure. It's still unmaintained. There are still screens missing, and there are still broken windows. And the garage door has not yet been fixed. So all violations still
exist. Amy Hampton did manage to find, what was this, a
it is in foreclosure.
It is in foreclosure, correct. This is,
well, it is in foreclosure. Can you get the city to do something about the pool? He's temporarily secured. Do you have the funds to do anything about that?
We can try.
Even if you put the orange fencing around it just temporarily?
Well, I mean, there is an enclosure.
Right, that's correct.
A visual to show that there's something there. In order to secure that pool, we'll have to have it.
Board.
Mm-hmm. We have a choice at this point. We have to do something.
We can try to do something if we have the budget available.
Man.
I think we should make a motion after the city to do something that's good for me. It's not our call, it's their call.
All right. All right. What's your final recommendation? It is something we need to address immediately, I think. Are there any other comments from the board?
Is it possible to put a yellow strip around that pool? Or
It is possible. The access to this pool is behind the house, which backs up to the golf course.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You would literally have to go behind the property. I believe if you were to secure the actual enclosure, that would secure the access to the pool completely. As far as the sanitation of the pool,
no.
That's a different story.
Is this
where
an
HOA?
Yeah.
Correct. I'm sorry?
Is this under HOA?
Yes, it is. This is in the Indigo subdivision.
Point of subdivision. We've I live in that area. And
received petitions and multiple complaints about the property from multiple people in the city and within City Hall. So this is where we are.
All right. So we'll find the property in noncompliance and ask the city to secure the pool within 10 days. Yes?
No, you can tie it to 10 days.
No.
You do noncompliance, ask the pool as soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
Funding.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't
so
be proper from
be part
the,
of
the board
the
to order the
correct.
City to take an action.
Right. Okay, so that can't really be part of the motion. So we're just going to find the property in noncompliance.
Right. So cut off in terms of the property, and we'll do a separate motion.
One of the things we've done before, and, you know, again, understanding that it appears it's in foreclosure, but what we've done before is given a short time period for a pool and maybe
right.
a full next cutoff for the mm-hmm. outside, the remainder,
mm-hmm.
the enclosure and those types of things. But I'm not, mm-hmm. I guess that's all really one, the pool and the enclosure, set the whole problem.
Right.
Yes.
Can we combine this and say that the noncompliance and request the city to secure the pool?
Well, you can authorize us to secure the pool.
Request, so we can't say
you can do that, but I'm saying you can't order them.
Right.
That's right.
We can authorize.
Request.
Okay. Or request.
Which is what the statute really gives you the authority to authorize us. Which
right.
I know you give us a general authorization anytime.
To tell you.
Right. To say when, how. We can't say.
So we have the authority to go ahead and request
right.
it.
Right.
The problem is we have authority to order it, except for the fact that we have no authority to suspend any funds.
Compel.
Correct.
So,
all right, the chair will entertain him. All right, go ahead.
Another thing just before that, Amy Sisson is in foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any particular bank or mortgage that could be notified to?
I would encourage a shorter time period, like 15 or 20 days, and then we'll get the notice to everyone that we can get a notice to and pray that someone takes action, whether it's the...
30 to 20 days.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure it was...
Okay, so we'll just do
some effort or appearance of a shortened time period to show that it's very important.
And they will want to be notified.
Let's break it down. Let's do a motion about one regular motion about the compliance.
Okay.
Let's do a specific motion and we ask the request in the city to take any more action necessary to the pool.
Right. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, December 3rd, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Okay, I have a motion by Mrs. Himes and a second by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. And a separate motion to request that the city secure
any action necessary to secure the pool.
Take any and all necessary action to secure the pool.
Madam Chair, if I may interrupt, and I apologize.
Go ahead.
I try not to interrupt you, you know, at this stage. Didn't realize that there was at least one of the complaints in the audience that was had a desire to be heard.
Okay. I think we should hear from you. Come up and be sworn in, state your name and address and your relationship to the property. I saw you raising your hand, but I knew I didn't see you come up front. So.
Good morning. My name is Mark Blaise, B-L-A-I-S. I live at 112 Point of Woods Drive.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I do.
Is that right beside the property, sir?
I don't think he heard you. Is that beside, right next door to
right
the property?
Yeah, right next door,
okay.
Yeah. Not only there are additional violations there. I'm a state-certified plumbing contractor, but I'm retired now. But anyway, Mr. Mountain, when he left, he said that he was not going to let the property go into dilapidation. However, doing some research, we found out he owes over $600,000 on the property. And it is way, it'll never be bought or sold or anything. The bank will have to foreclose. Now, the problem with the pool is right now is not only is it a safety hazard, but it's also a health hazard because of mosquitoes. And mosquitoes are, very prevalent there. Of course, the cooler months coming up, it won't be as bad. But, this is a guy who's worked the system, and he's not coming back. So we were just hoping there was some way to get the bank to move on it, to get it, in possession. Now, even me and my neighbors have decided that we could buy the property and rehabilitate it, but right. With all the liens that are on it, there's a couple right. $100,000 worth of liens on it.
Okay.
So anyway.
So we'll do the best we can to get everything secured. And to get this problem taken care of, we're limited as to what we can do, except move it forward in a timely
right.
fashion.
Is there a time frame that the bank would have to move on it?
We have no way to control it when the bank moves on or not.
Ordered them to come into. We found them in non-compliance. Well, actually, we found this person, Matthew Mountain, the owner, in non-compliance. And you know what happens when you get into all these banks owning, and we'll have to work with all those facts too.
Yeah.
But right now, we've ordered him to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, and then we impose a fine.
Well, he doesn't care
those
about
are the
fine.
Steps.
No,
we understand that.
The bank might.
We're limited as to what actually we can
the
do.
The bank doesn't own the property. They don't need to do to the bank.
The what?
Yeah. The bank does not own the property.
No, the bank does
no,
not.
No, I know they don't
property.
Now.
Do the bank.
Right.
But eventually they will.
Then that should go after the bank.
And then when they do.
Well, I thought there was some either a state statute or a federal statute about they have to have a certain amount of time that they have to in order to foreclose on the property.
Unfortunately, no. I've seen foreclosures go 8 years.
So in the meantime, our property values continue to go down.
That's something we can do. We have no control over that.
Yeah.
What we can do is what we're doing now, pushing this case as fast as possible and getting that pool secure.
Okay. Thank you.
I think that property
Hold on, Mr. Blaise. Come back a second.
I know the property quite well because I live in the neighborhood.
I'm an attorney. But my question is to you. You all have a HOA. Maybe you could get what you want from them, or should be.
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Homeowners Association.
We do not have a homeowners association, that part of Indigo Lakes.
Okay.
There is none.
Mr. Jones?
Just from being in the neighborhood myself, nearby, and walking my dog in that area quite a bit,
The neighborhood is a very nice neighborhood. I can appreciate his comments about being concerned. Values in that neighborhood have been still going up, even though that property is obviously a very negative thing. So I wouldn't be too concerned about you losing a great deal of value, because there are a lot of good homes that have sold in that area at good prices. But I agree, the quicker we can help the neighborhood,
That's what we're going to do. We're going to try and move this forward. And so we've made a motion was accepted for compliance by the next cutoff date, and we were going to make, we were in the middle of making a motion to authorize the city to secure the pool as quickly as possible.
To recommend or authorize?
Just, do we authorize that? Authorize is a good work. Okay, that's the language.
What about the water in the pool and the infestation of mosquitoes?
We can't control that.
That's not a health hazard?
We don't have the authority to go on somebody's property to take care of the pool. We don't have the authority to secure the pool.
I know, but is there any agency in the government that can, I mean, they come around and check your yard to see if you got a pan laying up straight up to for mosquito control. Now we've got a whole pool that's just inundated with mosquito larvae. So why would they be able to come to your house and...
I suggest you sit down with the staff, but as far as we're concerned, the only we can do at this point is to move the case on, which we're doing, and to get this pool secure as soon as possible.
Okay.
And we'll move as quickly as we can.
Okay. So we'll just have to live with the mosquitoes for a while.
Actually, our hands are tied as far as what we can authorize and not authorize.
I understand. So. I was thinking there was some other agency that I could go to get us the pool at least drained or, you know.
No. The city won't do that. The city's not going to do that anyway. They have liability to come up with this drain, so not going to happen. We got to, the purpose of what we can do is to secure that pool, and that's what we've asked the commission to do. We're asking the public funds to secure the pool.
Could I go over there and pour chlorine in the pool?
We can't authorize you. I don't ask us.
I'm not going to get arrested if I do that.
I agree with you. Well, I know where you're coming from.
When the city secures a pool, do they also cover the pool?
No, let's not get down that road.
Okay.
Let's secure it. Let's just deal with that issue. Let's not tell them how to secure it.
Call for the question.
We have a motion has been made to authorize the city to secure the pool as quickly as possible. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right. Motion by Mr. Harrington. Is there a second?
Second
by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay. We'll do what we can to move this forward.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Our last case, case number 18 was already heard. Our last case is case number 19, CEB 11-14-123, Stuart Mortimer at 131 Tarragona Way. Is the respondent present? Okay. What can you tell us, Mr.
Good
Stinson?
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. This property at 131 Tarragona Way came to me as a citizen's complaint about the condition of the pool. It's a in-ground pool without a cover. However, it is full and very unmaintained. In addition to the pool, there are quite a few other violations on the property. And as of yesterday, none of the violations have been corrected.
Okay.
Is the pool secure or not?
The pool is not secure.
Same as last time.
Okay, so we will do basically the same thing as we did last time. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance in order the respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date of December 3rd or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000.
So included in the state motion and further authorize
Okay, and further authorize
the
the city to secure the pool. Is there all right? A motion by Mrs. Himes, a second. By Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, that concludes the hearing of our cases. Any miscellaneous business? Any comments?
Welcome, Mr. Jones.
Yeah, welcome, Mr. Jones. Okay, nothing further? Anything from staff? All right, thank you all very much, and see you in December. Happy Thanksgiving, and meeting adjourned.